Welcome to the Reader's Roundtable Podcast, presented by Capital Area District Libraries.
Hi, everyone. This is Maddie Garza, Youth Services Specialist with CATL. Welcome back to the Reader's Roundtable. We have some special guests today talking about picture books. We have
Sherry McConnell, Collection Development Specialist.
And
I'm Tom Schultz. I'm the Youth Services Librarian at Okemos.
All right. Well, one of the things that we love to talk about all year round, really, is our picture books. And somehow or other, November has become National Picture Book Month. You don't hear that much about it, but there are so many wonderful picture books, like ever, not just this month or last month or this year. But so many have come out. So we have decided to talk about some of the ones that have been getting our attention recently, but also old favorites from way back in the day. And one of the ones that I really absolutely loved was, it's actually a picture book biography called So Tall Within. It's by Gary Schmidt and Daniel Minter. And it is the story of Sojourner Truth. And it's like a picture book biography, so there's not a whole lot of content inside, but the illustrations are just gorgeous and really gives you just that small sampling to begin learning about individuals that have really influenced our history and reading together aloud with your family about various members who have made it to Michigan and have played a role in history. One of the ones that also I've really enjoyed reading is called The Ugly Five. It's by Julia Donaldson, and it's actually about five animals in Africa, safari vacations, and it kind of rhymes a little bit. Morning had dawned on the African plain. The lion lay grooming his glorious mane. The kudu looked cool and the rhino looked fine. The bright pink flamingos looked simply divine. The zebra looked graceful. The leopard looked great. Oh, what a picture of beauty, but wait! Who is this creature so ugly and weird with her spindly legs and her gingery beard? With her chunky chest and her skinny behind, to say she looks plain would be really quite kind. It's the wild beast. So this book is about five animals primarily that you see on African safaris and how they're supposedly ugly, which of course they are not. It's a beautiful, whimsical book. And at the very end, I really like because all the little children of the animals talk about how wonderful and loved they feel by their parents and end up calling them the Lovely Five. So I recommend The Ugly Five by Julia Donaldson and illustrated by Axel Scheffler. If you like, it's kind of like an early reader. Think of like Frog and Toad a bit. The Party is a mini series of books that's by Sergio Ruzier. And it's the Fox and Chick series, basically, which kind of reminds me a little bit of Frog and Toad. But it's a little mini chapter book for early readers. It's really, really cute. It is a picture book. But they're kind of two friends that are kind of getting into it back and forth and really, really nice illustrations. And I think really builds confidence for your early readers who are just learning to manage getting a new chapter every time with the same characters and sort of the same storyline. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Sherry.
Oh, okay. Well, my selections are not new titles. They are from the golden age of picture books, which means 15 to 20 years ago when my children were very small. And but they are still some of my favorite picture book illustrators. And I'm going to start with a book called Sheep in a Jeep. Illustrated by Margot Apple, and I would look for her books because I just think she's a delightful illustrator. Lots of whimsical, funny images. It's Sheep in a Jeep is actually the first in a series, and they're whimsical, easy readers. And highly quotable. My kids are in their 20s and they still quote from this book.
Sheep sweep the heap.
Yes, which Sheep in a Jeep starts is Sheep in a Jeep on a Hill That's Steep, and it actually goes downhill from there. The series of books, there's Sheep in a Shop, Sheep Out to Eat, Sheep on a Ship. But it's just a delightful series of books, easy readers or read to your kids. They're just a lot of fun and obviously classics in my family. The next book I'm going to talk about is The Seven Silly Eaters by Mary Ann Hoberman and illustrated by Marla Friese. Marla Friese is another one, just a wonderful illustrator. And what struck me about Seven Silly Eaters, first of all, it's the story of a big family, and each kid has a peculiar food preference. And so it's about this mom just fretting, trying to figure out how to feed all of these picky eaters. But the illustrations, there's so many minute detail about, you know, what this illustrator understands a house with toddlers. You just see all of these detail about the chaos and the care that that you would see in a house with lots and lots of children. Again, it's the rhymes are bouncy and not an easy reader, but just a fun book. And again, it's one of those books that my kids asked for over and over again. The last book I'm going to talk about is, because next month is the holiday season, another favorite illustrator of mine is David McPhail. And for some reason, he really liked illustrating books with pigs. Pigs and bears. And this one is called Angel Pig and the Hidden Christmas. These pigs, it comes to December, and they realize they have no money in the bank, and that they are going to have to make Christmas all on their own. And they do that with the help of Angel Pig. So well-dressed pigs in a Victorian house busy themselves making gifts for each other, and in the end learn the true meaning of the Christmas season with the help of the Angel Pig. So these are my classic picks. They are all found in the Cattle Catalog. Even though they're older titles, you can still check them out.
All right. And then, well, let me talk about a few that I was thinking about this year. I focused strictly on new picture books that came out in 2018. And I identified some themes that we're really seeing a lot coming out in picture book publishing. Like, for instance, the theme of individuality, self-actualization, being true to yourself. You know, lots came out this year. One that really stands out, though, is called How to Be a Lion by Ed Veer. And if you remember the book Ferdinand, you know, who sits mm-hmm. under the cork tree smelling the flowers, it's a lot like that because the lion in this book, He doesn't want to act like the other lions. He doesn't want to go eating his friend the duck. And how is he going to fit in and things like this? Well, he figures it out. So it's a really good one about message about, okay, who are you? Who do you choose to be? And so like I say, Ferdinand, if you like Ferdinand, this is a really good match for that. Another one, Perfectly Norman. He's a boy with wings, but he doesn't want people to see that he has wings. He doesn't want to stand out. He doesn't want to be special. So how is he going to reconcile himself? Well, this book tells you that. And there's several others as well. Juliana's a Mermaid by Jessica Love. Another theme that's really been strong, going back to when Rosie Revere came out, which is about 2013 or 12, mm-hmm. I think, but books about girls in sciences, STEM books, STEAM books, especially with female main characters. Another good spate of them this year. Izzy Gizmo, she's a girl who's an inventor, and things go wrong sometimes, but eventually she figures it out. Another one about two friends who live next door to each other, Melia and Joe. One's more an artsy person, the other is a scientist. So you're getting the A in STEAM, you know, science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics. Kate Who Tamed the Wind. This has by Liz Garten Scanlon. This is about a girl who plants trees. So a little bit of a green message. And finally, this one isn't about girls, but it's called The Honeybee by Kristen Hall. And what I like about this one, it's about honeybees, but they're not anthropomorphized. It's really about how honeybees behave. You know, it doesn't have them wearing pants or driving cars or anything. It has bees out connecting pollen, out collecting nectar, come back to the hive. So it's really, really good, especially, you know, we really need to appreciate bees with, what is it called, the colony collapse syndrome that's been going on. So let's see. All right, inventions. Oh, multiculturalism and respecting differences, another big theme, lots of books here. Probably the one that most people will recognize if you go on Amazon searching for books, All Are Welcome by Alexandra Penfold. It's about a school class with
kids. I remember
kids
reading that one.
Yeah. All kinds of kids, all kinds of different cultures, everybody, you know, working together. This one, if you remember books like anything by Todd Parr, Yoko by Rosemary Wells, good match for those. There's another one called Tilly and Tank. It's about an elephant and a tank, and they meet. And they both think, well, we kind of look alike, but then, well, it turns out that they don't quite act alike. But there's a happy ending. That's by Jay Fleck. Let's see. Oh, before I forget, Sherry had her favorite Christmas books there, Angel Pig. My favorite, I've been in the library since 1990, and I've been looking for the ultimate version of The Night Before Christmas. Finally, Charles Santor is the illustrator. Came out about 2 or 3 years ago. Oh,
that's what I'm going to talk about next.
Yeah, Charles Santor's version of The Night Before Christmas, absolutely brilliant. Because what he does is, unlike most illustrators who set it in a Victorian kind of setting, the poem, the original poem came out, I think, 1829. Guess what? That's pre-Victorian. So Santor realizes that. He doesn't even give the people a Christmas tree, which you wouldn't have had in 1829 until the Germans introduced them in the 1840s and 50s. Also, thanks to Queen Victoria. And I can recommend the best illustrated version of The 12 Days of Christmas, Le Win Pham. Did you see that?
No.
Isn't it beautiful?
Oh,
it's so cute. Anyway, so those are my two favorite Christmas ones. And maybe I'll stop now and we can go back if we need some more.
Okay, well, now since you have mentioned Charles Santor, I'm going to hop in because this is Sherry. One of the books that I didn't get to in the last go-round is illustrated by Charles Santor, and it is an abridged version of The Wizard of Oz. And it's not an easy reader. It's not the movie either. It's abridged from the original books. You're going to meet characters that are not in the movie, like the Hammerheads and the Queen of the Mice. But the illustrations are just, I bought this book when my children were young and when money was tight, because the illustrations are just gorgeous. And I feel like the illustrations, he illustrates the book, they're true to the spirit of the book. And they really, really add
And I see she has silver slippers on.
Yes. I mean, it really is truer. Even though it's abridged, it's true to the original story, not the movie. And so it is a book for older children, and it will take you several sittings to get through. But the illustrations are absolutely worth it. If you want to see what the book looks like, I think that the movie should look like the illustrations in this book. It's just a gorgeously illustrated book.
He also has a magnificent version of Snow White and Seven Dwarfs.
Ooh.
Yes, beautiful, beautiful thing. The dwarves, they're not caricatures, they're small men, you know.
Yeah, I'm just such a fan of this illustrator, so I'm glad. I'm going to have to look up his version of The Night Before Christmas.
Okay. Well, before we end, I sort of feel obligated now to give my favorite pick for the holiday season. And the one that most comes to my mind is not particularly a classic or anything. It actually came out a few years ago, and I know I'm going to forget the author. Maybe you can help me. It's Daddy Christmas, Mommy Hanukkah. And I just like the story because it really highlights how, you know, we live in a culture where we have so many different traditions. And children are sometimes in families where more than one tradition is celebrated. So I really liked that there was a book out there celebrating some of the, at least two of the types of holidays that get celebrated in December. So, yeah. And then the last book I'm going to mention is also a picture book. It's called The Bass Plays the Bass and Other Homographs or Homographs. Yep. I can't quite figure that out. It's by Jean Beretta. And I'm not exactly sure that this is really for the preschool crowd, though I totally recommend it anyway.
What it's great for, what it's great for is ESL, is English as a second language.
Absolutely.
Yes, for
but
pronunciation.
But it's got great illustrations. Yep. Have you read about the greatest music festival in the animal kingdom? We just saw it. Read my shirt. Zoolapalooza, no cages, just stages. It's got tons of like back and forth homograms that just really are homographs that really challenge the reader to figure out the context. It might be maybe older, third, fourth grade, but it's still a beautiful picture book. And that's it for me.
Okay. I have one more. I have a gift suggestion for all English majors out there. 2018, 200th anniversary of the publication of Frankenstein.
Yeah.
So there's been at least two kids' books that have come out about it. Right, and the one that and both are good, but the one I like is it's called Mary Who Wrote Frankenstein. It's a Canadian import, Linda Bailey, and it really gives you the sense of what it was like in Switzerland when Mary Shelley was there on the lake with those party boy brilliant writers, and they were challenging each other to write the ghost stories. It's got the rain, it's got the gloom, you know. Beautiful, beautiful thing. It is a longer book. It's not going to be something you do for story time or a toddler. But, like I say, if you're an English major, you have a niece or nephew or a little brother or sister, boom, right there.
We are going to end our podcast with a reading of The Wonky Donkey. This is words and music by Craig Smith, although we are not going to be playing music this morning. And some of you may remember this title because in the fall, it may have been September or October, Australian grandma, maybe it was reading it to her grandson and could not get through it. It was so funny and it was so cute to watch on YouTube and all over everywhere. We thought we would have Mr. Tom read it for us. So go ahead, Mr. Tom.
All right, here we go. The Wonky Donkey. I was walking down the road and I saw a donkey. He only had three legs. He was a wonky donkey. I was walking down the road, and I saw a donkey. He only had three legs and one eye. He was a winky wonky donkey. I was walking down the road, and I saw a donkey. He only had three legs, one eye, and he liked to listen to country music. He was a honky-tonky, winky-wonky donkey. I was walking down the road, and I saw a donkey. He only had three legs, one eye. He liked to listen to country music, and he was quite tall and slim. He was a lanky, honky-tonky, winky-wonky donkey. I was walking down the road, and I saw a donkey. He only had three legs, one eye. He liked to listen to country music. He was quite tall and slim. And he smelled really, really bad. He was a stinky, dinky, lanky, honky, tonky, winky, wonky donkey. I was walking down the road and I saw a donkey. He only had three legs, one eye. He liked to listen to country music. He was quite tall and slim. He smelled really, really bad. And that morning he'd got up early and hadn't had any coffee. So he was a cranky, stinky, dinky, lanky, honky, tonky, winky, wonky donkey. I was walking down the road and I saw a donkey.
He only had three legs, one eye. He liked to listen to country music. He was quite tall and slim. He smelled really, really bad. That morning, he got up early and hadn't had any coffee. And he was always getting up to mischief. So he was a hanky-panky, cranky, stinky, dinky, lanky, honky-tonky, winky-wonky donkey. I was walking down the road, and I saw a donkey. He only had three legs, one eye. He liked to listen to country music. He was quite tall and slim. He smelled really, really bad. That morning, he got up early and hadn't had any coffee. He was always getting up to mischief. But he was quite good looking. He was a spunky, hanky, panky, cranky, stinky, dinky, lanky, honky, tonky, winky, wonky, donkey. I was walking down the road, and I saw a donkey. The end.
All right. Well, thank you, Tom and Sherry, for joining us for Picture Book Month and talking about all these different illustrated editions of books, both for holidays and just new stuff, old stuff. It was very good to have you.
Thanks.
Thank you.